Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Well, hello, welcome to Watch What Crappens and Reality Gaze.
Hello, children.
Hello.
Hi. It's hello.
Hi, Ben. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi.
Or as we would say, Reality Gaze and Watch What Crappens.
Yeah. Annual crossover event.
So happy to be with you boys. It's our new Christmas tradition. It's our third year doing a recap with you guys.
Yeah.
Yep.
I picked the film this year, which is just fucking painfully terrible. So I'm really sorry. Yeah. My main note on this is sorry.
The thing that's amazing about this is that you're right. It's not a great film. And yet everybody is so used to Lindsay Lohan doing more worse things that everybody's like, this wasn't bad. Lindsay Lohan's back.
Yeah, I actually was like that. I was kind of like, wow, Lindsay Lohan is actually a very good comic actress. Yeah,
I feel like she was in interviews saying that she never got to show her physical comedy chops. And she's like, I feel like that was a demand in about every other scene that she fall or pratfall or
I enjoyed
drop
it.
Something.
I think she really felt like she didn't like Herbie Fully Loaded never quite got the audience it deserves.
She never got the Lucy Ricardo comparisons that she wanted. Yeah.
You know, for me, it was like watching an Olympic sport because I was just like waiting for Lindsay to show up to work fucked up one day and just fall, you know, like literally fall or like mess up lines and mess them up so bad that they couldn't even cut. You know, they just be like, well, we have to use something. And it's just Lindsay not knowing her line. Or it's like daylight in a scene and then it's night in the next line because it took her that long to get to the. And so I was holding up tens the whole time just for that. I'm like, she came to work today. Yay! Gold medal.
Well, the man who wrote it, I read on Wikipedia. Yes, there's a Wikipedia page.
I did a deep dive here too.
The man who wrote it said that this movie is a metaphor for Lindsay's life because she forgot who she was. Literally in the world of Hollywood at, you know, Kitson.
Shut
wherever,
your mouth.
She forgot who she was and then she came back to who she was, and that apparently is to look like her mother now.
This movie isn't a metaphor.
She literally fell off of snow.
Yeah,
I could see, in snow. I could see her like it's like, you know, her time at the North Star Lodge was like her time with a nightclub in Mykonos. You know,
yes, but, yes. I loved that show.
For those who are wondering what the heck we're talking about,
yes, that's true. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm Ben. We have Ronnie, also from Watch What Crappens. Ronnie and I are from Watch What Crappens. We got Matt and Jake, who are from Reality Gaze, and we are here to recap Falling for Christmas, which is a Christmas movie available on Netflix. And in case you didn't know it was available on Netflix, there were about 3 Netflix references within this movie to really assure you that you were actually watching Netflix.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Thanks for doing that. Man, when I say we're all going to host this together, just not one of us does a damn thing.
I know. What absolute whores. They're just putting in there as much as they can. Yikes.
Yeah, they really are.
Should we just get into recapping this mess? Because it's going to be a bit, this is a big one. This is a lot.
This is,
and you know, I thought, like, I personally enjoyed the way it opened, which is that as the movie began, I wasn't sure if I was seeing a I thought at first it was actually just like the production. It was like another title card for a production house. It was like a whole bunch of clouds. And then it sort of looks like the video that plays when you get onto an American Airlines plane.
It does.
When you're boarding and they play a video of clouds and like soft music to make sure you feel calm, you know?
I felt
to make the passengers docile.
Yes, yeah. I felt very Sound of Music with it. Like, that's what I got.
It's like when I was 12, I was listening to this tape on, like, how to quit smoking. It was like one of these things that, like,
I was 12. Wait, you're 12? It's like, hey, kids.
It's like Lindsay herself.
Ronnie, what was life like in El Paso?
It's another
trying to quit smoking at 12. Hopefully I can be good by 14.
He would do this in between takes of The Parent Trap.
Yeah.
So anyway, and it had this tinkly piano music in it. It's like tinkle, 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 like that. You know, it's like just three chords over, or one chord just playing all the way up the piano and back down. And let me tell you, I was smoking more then, and I started smoking more now. By the end of this movie, I was like,
it's the chords they're using are the Home Alone chords. Like that sound that all sound like we're entering a magical world. So they use those all the time. That's me using music degrees for today.
I really appreciate that. Oh, and we should also mention, by the way, that as we are recapping this, this is also on video. So you can watch this on video. For us, it's going to be with our Crap is on Demand function. You can see all 4 of us. 3 of you guys have wonderful webcams. I am recording from what appears to be a 2003 Dell webcam. So I'm a little like blurry and swishy. I don't know how to fix it. So
Ben's inside an oyster chowder can. You know?
You know,
my camera's on mushrooms. There's like trails with everything I'm doing.
It's okay. Blurry and swishy is what they call me in college.
Yeah.
So
I'm trying to have an immersive Lindsay Lohan experience. So.
So then we get the music changes a little, thrilling violins, majestic gondolas going up, taking people up mountains where they'll slide down. It's called skiing.
Yeah.
It's very pretty. It's very pretty. I think they filled this in salt.
I was like, where are we?
They were in Park City, Utah. That's where they filmed a lot of this, was in Park.
Okay.
So I just want to bring that up again for yay for diversity. And also Utah doesn't look like this at all.
Right.
Well, that's, and there's a black mayor in the town. I was just
diversity
like, okay.
In this movie was a bit questionable. By the way, I also thought it was funny because we see a ski lift and then we see the title card Falling for Christmas. I was like, is this a movie about someone who falls off a ski lift? That sounds terrible. That was a terrible concept.
It really is. It's like a person, you know, most of those movies where they're falling, they're like, yeah, I'm a pro climber. Like, what was that one? Wasn't it called Fall? Where they're like, starts with Sylvester Stallone. He's like, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to do it. And then they fall and die, you know. But this is just boring people falling off of. It's just people like, hey, I just want to sit down to get up the mountain.
It's a really, it looks like a very expensive resort. Like, and it looks extremely douchey. Like,
but it's definitely supposed to be like a tech bro-y kind of resort, you know. I actually was like happy to see it because I think every Christmas movie in the history of Hallmark has been these cute little bed and breakfast places with adorable wooden.
That's later. We'll get there.
That's later.
That I realized that was coming down the pike.
Can I just say too, like from this is a very film nerd perspective, but I really enjoyed the way they actually put the title cards for everybody. Like, did you know they placed the names of stars? It was very well placed. You could read them very well. And at one point, like, they put up somebody's name and then somebody slid in the snow and the snow swooshed the words away.
Oh, I love
and I went, what detail?
They don't spend money for that anymore. Yeah.
That's like the old classic thing when there's like a shot of a city, like an aerial shot, and you're sort of going by on a helicopter around a building, and as the building passes by, a title name appears.
Like, oh, yeah. I love
it
that.
It was very intentional. It was my favorite part of the movie. I'm not going to lie.
Well, they did like a high budget version of a Hallmark movie, you know, but they didn't pay for like a better writer. No offense, person who made this a metaphor for Lindsay's life or whatever.
Metaphor. But,
yeah, it's not.
Can we talk about his credits? I don't know if you guys looked this up.
Yes,
oh, I did not. Please.
There were two writers. One named Jeff Bonnet and the other named Ron Oliver.
He's the one who said it was a metaphor. Ron Oliver said it was a metaphor.
So I want to start with Jeff Bonnet.
Is that just John Oliver as his like pen name? He secretly writes holiday movies.
I think John Oliver could have written a better movie. Jeff Bonnet was of his biggest credit was he wrote this thing called Christmas at the Plaza, like Hallmark movie in 2015. But his main credit seems to be a production assistant on the show Heroes for a very long time.
That makes sense because there's probably this PA who probably walked into Hallmark and was like, hey, I'd love to write a movie for you. And this PA's name is probably like Josh Blankenstein. And the people are like, oh, but aren't you a PA? He's like, no, I'm a writer. Really? I don't see your credits. Like, oh, that's because my name is John Bonnet.
That's who I am. I think so too.
This guy, the other Ron Oliver has done a bunch of Christmas movies, but he's most famous for writing, Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2, a horror movie from the 80s where a woman came back who was killed and she's going to make sure no one else has a good prom night.
Well, hey, I'm with her. I'm on her team.
that sounds like my Aunt Peggy.
Now, I'm going to say that colored a lot of my views. So, I found a lot of supernatural elements that I could latch on to and things that I thought were going to happen, but sadly they didn't.
Is it possible that Ron Oliver was actually just writing about himself? Being forgotten all those years after Hello Mary Lou.
Yeah, I feel so bad because I just yelled, you suck at these guys. You guys, congrats. You know, I'm glad that they keep us working, you know. They're like, hey, dust off Ron Oliver. Is he still trying to get Goosebumps back on the air?
Right. He did.
Are You Afraid of the Dark? He directed some of those. So he has been around. Wrote a lot of Christmas
Afraid
Hallmark
of the Dark. No, I insist on the dark. Well, you know, that's my film.
Yeah.
No, it's funny because I just sent you guys this. I looked at the production company because this movie was made by the Motion Picture Corporation of America, MPCA. That's the actual production company.
Oh, yes.
So I was like, what else have they done? And they've done like, they do a ton of Christmas movies. And they have one out this season right now with like Brandy and like John Sedino or whatever his name is, or Mark Sedino. And it's directed by Mary Lambert. And the press release says, "Is like, here's a new Christmas movie directed by the Pet Sematary director, Mary Lambert." I was like, you're leading with Pet Sematary?
From the people that brought you that cat that you buried in an Indian burial ground.
Well, listen, Christmas is a holiday about a guy who died and came back.
All you really need is a different score.
You know, Pet Sematary could have been a very different film.
From the people who brought you Saw 2 comes Christmas in New England.
Exactly.
That big semi truck comes down the road and barreling for that kid and just throws out some candy. You know, all this.
Just
Santa's
sleigh.
I will say,
it's like dead reindeer coming up out of the ground.
This Santa with his dentures was creepy, I will say.
Oh, he was a lurker. Yeah. He lurked in every scene.
He was a lurker Santa.
Dude, see something, say something. I would have texted the FBI if I had seen that Santa at a mall. I mean, what the hell?
I don't trust a Santa with veneers, okay?
Yeah, they were really...
He looked like a strange Santa that, like... You know how, like, Santa has, like, kind of normal, like, symmetrical features? It looked like this one had been dropped a couple times.
Like, this was an odd Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was Santa.
This was like a kind of inbred Santa look
to
him.
I have a
Hey, are you making an Oklahoma joke?
I live in Texas. I'm allowed.
If the sister fucking fits.
That's true.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not straight and my sister is not hot, because I would have no, I mean, why not? They're in your house.
They're just right there. It's easy.
I'm all about convenience, guys.
I don't have to go out.
I've got to see my cousins in just 10 days that got married. So.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, my family actually had a party, and the T-shirts said "Incest is best." Incest Fest is what they said.
Oh.
Because so many of them were Lebanese, and so many are cousins, you know. And they're like,
"Yes, ah, I think they're not first cousins. I think they're third cousins, but they're still third cousins. It's
we've
not
got
on
a couple of firsties,
yeah.
But most of them are second and third. But then I went to that reunion, and I was like, I can see how this happens. I mean, there's so many hot guys.
Yeah.
You
know?
Wow.
Wow.
Lebanese guys are really hot when we're young. It's when we get older that things start to get hairy, literally.
From the people who brought you The Grudge comes a very incest Christmas. So we have Lindsay Lohan. We don't know her name at this point, which is appropriate.
No.
We don't know her name for a very long time. She's lying in that bed. She's lying in her hotel bed, sleeping very unnaturally, as in corpse position with her hands above the sheets with a mask on her face. I'm like, well, the reason why you need a mask is because you're not getting cozy into your bed, lady. Get under those sheets.
You know? She's in those luxurious sheets that, like, you know someone's rich when they don't care that their bed looks fat. You know, it's like horizontal stripes on the...
You know what? So right, because I'm redoing my bedroom, and I'm like, what? And you realize, I want my bed to look fat.
Oh,
you're right.
Horizontal stripes.
Yeah, you want that fat bed.
It's like the mark of wealth in the Middle Ages if you were fat.
Yeah.
You know,
I have a rich bed.
I grew up in the wrong time.
Fat bed.
Wrong time.
So she's asleep, and she reaches for a remote, and she hits the remote, and the blinds open. This is all to indicate, and she has her mask on, that this is
and
so
a lot of lip gloss.
Her.
A lot of lip gloss.
This is to connote the
this is what she does every day.
She does this every day. She's a creature of routine.
Also, sorry, I left the camera because I'm like, I'm smoking on camera. That's so trashy.
I thought you were masturbating at this point.
They had a look of fear in their eyes, like, we've lost Ronnie.
You came back like you were doing like a local segment for a TV news thing, like, boom.
Yeah, I just like to make an entrance, so I come out. I just stand and wait for applause every time I come back out.
You smoke.
You're a professional.
And if my thing goes, I'm just drinking my McDonald's Dr. Pepper, because that's where I am. Yeah,
you're just going for that.
My coffee. Mm-hmm.
No, but see, Ben, you're not doing it right, because Matt is going for a brand. You know, he's searching for McDonald's. He's like, going to get that McDonald's endorsement. You can't just be like, here's my home brew. You know,
we got an option one time to do an ad for McDonald's, and I thought we'd finally arrived.
But they they made us do an audition for the ad. We had to send them like a video of audio of us talking about how much we love McDonald's.
Oh my God.
And guess what? We didn't get it.
We weren't convincing enough.
We don't love McDonald's enough.
I love gastrointestinal distress.
Exactly.
Gastrointestinal
anyway,
distress.
I'm sorry.
So, Lindsay, you guys were talking about her lip gloss. I have to say, just overall, another reason I'm proud, she's just so well moisturized. Because in the past decade or so, Lindsay Lohan, I mean, she's looked rough. You know, she's looked very paper baggish, but she's so moisturized and like from the inside out. Like she's been drinking water.
She has been drinking water.
Yeah. It's a little she had her periods where it was like dinosaur skin for a while.
We do it to ourselves, you know, it's like sun, sand, powder.
Yeah.
You know,
remember when she had really yellow teeth and the internet freaked out about how yellow Lindsay Lohan's teeth were?
Yeah.
I feel like people who are listening to this who are like in their 20s, didn't experience Cuckoo Magoo, Lindsay.
They didn't know.
You didn't know what the daily go-tos were. We were checking in with her.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I'm, we've been checking in and hoping for her and praying for her. Okay. And she's doing great. So
I once bumped into her at a restaurant. What was it? Remember that restaurant, Dolce?
Yeah.
And oh, it was God, huge. Dolce. Huge. It was owned by Ashton Kutcher. And then and
right,
my,
there on, yes. right there on Beverly.
Yeah. And I had a friend who's like her brother-in-law was a part owner. So we would go and eat there like for free and shit like that. And oh so we God. Were walking out. I'll never forget it. And I was walking out and suddenly we left at like 9 o'clock at night and I'd had drink. Let's be honest, several. And suddenly I see all these. Suddenly I got totally turned around because I went, wait a minute, is it daytime? Because I thought it was daytime. And then I bumped someone's shoulder and I look over and it's Lindsay Lohan staring right by. And it's the paparazzi. And I literally thought it was 4 o'clock in the day. It freaked me out. And then I saw her and instead of posing, I ran because all I thought was, I'm going to look so fat next to Lindsay Lohan. And I just ran off the thing.
You guys could have had like a red hair moment together where she'd be like, you could take my identity. You'd be like, fine, Lindsay, you take my identity. And then you walk out and you're like, I'm Lindsay Lohan.
That is my princess movie switch.
Yes. Yeah. And then I meet Aaron O'Connell who works at a lodge.
Yes.
Then flies me there.
So Lindsay Lohan is waking up. Yeah, Ronnie, you go.
Oh, no, I don't need to. I was just saying, so.
Did you like it? Did you like the robe she puts on? This is a very old reference, but Jennifer Lonnie Anderson from WKRP. Mm. it's the long flowing, as they say, a woman whose husband died of mysterious circumstances. When the police say, and they're like, is there a problem, officer?
Like, you know, she killed him when you see that robe.
Yes.
Kind of robe. Yes. Yeah. And also, I have to say, as much as I'm complimenting Lindsay, terrible stretching out acting. Like, when she puts on the robe and she stretches, like, it's the morning, so I'm stretching, and she goes, ah! What the fuck was that? Are there no people on set to help her? Like, tell her, Lindsay, is that how you stretch out in the morning? You know, she's like, no, I wake up face down in a trash can.
With drool, like, right here.
She seemed uncomfortable. This was like the limit of her method acting was the stretching.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm waking up. Can I have a can of tuna just kind of like on this part of my face?
Banana peel.
So she's waking up and then we're seeing this whole resort or whatever it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing sports cars pulling up. And then the thing that struck me immediately, the reason that we could tell that we were on Netflix is that there were like crane shots. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Hallmark does not do crane shots.
No,
you know,
no.
It's like we've maybe learned. They stick a camera onto a stick.
Yeah, you know, we've learned, Ben, because we keep calling them crane shots. Like, I feel like we're like the old ladies of podcasting because we're like, remember those crane shots? And so it's like, dumbasses, someone commented, dumbasses, they're drones.
They're drones.
They're just like a kid like flying the drone. But every time Ben and I are like, wow, did you see that crane shot?
They spent a lot of money on that.
No, they bought it.
I think the Hallmark Channel actually attaches a camera to a crane, like an actual bird. And I was like, let's just see what we get.
Well, I do. I will say, I do think the crane looks better than a drone, and it's a smoother shot.
It is.
I agree with you. Sort of like that swoop. I actually felt like we got a little bit of both because I wrote down, wow, they have crane shots and aerial footage. So I think that like it's all of the above, which is a huge departure from Hallmark.
No, they spent a lot of money on this movie. They actually spent a lot of money on this
movie.
They
did. They got music rights. I was like,
yes.
Wait,
yeah, there was Brenda Lee's Rocking Around the Christmas Tree was in there. So.
Oh, call me when you get Brenda Blood then. You know what I mean? So the drone is flying around, and whoever's operating this drone is a total perv because they were obsessed with the see-through hot tub on the top of the hotel. Every time they show the hotel, it's just like girls in bikini bottoms, you know, showing their butts in the hot tub.
Is it water? Is it floating? Is it water? It's a hot tub.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, nothing says fancy like
I would get drunk in there, though. That'd be fun.
No, I'd love that hot tub.
I wouldn't.
You get drunk faster. A see-through hot tub?
What? Who cares?
Well, I'm not going to be in a see-through hot tub with a little kid jerking off with a fucking drone at my fat old butt. No.
It was like a very low-rent White Lotus. It's like white crocus.
Cloudy Lotus, yeah.
Cloudy Lotus.
Beige crocus.
Cloudy tulip.
What happens in the next, like, 3 minutes of this movie? It starts out, like Ronnie said, like, just so... waking up, beat, hit phone, beat, rub eyes. And then it's all of a sudden like, we have not even 2 minutes to tell you anything and everything and set up like five people's lives.
That's what
they
do.
Very early 2000s. It's very early 2000s. Montage, glam squad. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, good for Lindsay Lohan. She carried it all on a phone call. I was proud for her.
She really did.
She said the lines. She said her lines.
She did. She said that. And her lips were moving along with the words coming out. Like, you can tell that she wasn't, because, you know, some part of me was like waiting to hear Julia Roberts' voice. But then you just see Lindsay going like, oh, well.
And she's still got her kind of gravelly kind of Lindsay voice. It's very, very little bit, little like here always.
I was expecting the director to just put like a piece of hair on Lindsay's lip and have her try and get it off. Like,
like putting peanut butter on a dog's tongue. And they just have someone dub
her. All the Mr. Ed techniques.
Okay, Lindsay, you stand up and then the walls are closing in. And she's like, okay, that's her stretching scene. That's her stretching scene, everybody.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too.
songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners, we know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
Did you guys ever see The Canyons? If you haven't, you must. It's her and the porn star, James. I'm going to blank on this.
I'm in.
Yeah, but he's a straight porn star, unfortunately.
I'm in.
But
wasn't his name James Dean?
Yeah, James Dean.
Yeah.
James Dean. Oh,
yeah, he's hot. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And it was one of the worst things. And I think she felt like she was doing this kind of like Gina Rowland's kind of performance, but it was so over the top and awful. You must watch it. It's wonderfully bad.
I remember when it came out that there was a lot of press about like this horrific Lindsay Lohan moment I think they were actually trying to make it seem like it was going to be some sort of art house comeback.
They were, right? That's why it was so wonderfully awful. Yeah.
I'm in. I'll totally watch that.
Catch it. It's worth it.
So, see-through hot tub, swanky hotel, slow-mo snowboarding. They're like, hey, guys, do we have $5 left today? Let's slow the skiing down. So it's like slowing and like guys jumping really slowly in the snow. And then we see the Belmont Summit Resort. A stretch Hummer limo is pulling up.
Very glamorous.
Very. Yeah. Oh, I hate those
And there's
cars.
A guy. And
so upset about those cars.
They're awful. They're awful. So awful.
They're terrible, and they can't make turns.
Nothing says that you're just a waste of space on this planet than a stretch Hummer.
Right? Thank you. Right.
I mean, I'd bone in it. It's kind of
character building right now, because now we meet Tad, and he's in the back of the stretch. And he's played by an actor who was given no notes whatsoever.
Said, George Young was his name. I looked him up.
George, yeah, they said, just go for it, honey. Go for it. And we, you know what? And don't worry. If you wind up sort of presenting as closeted gay, we'll fix it at the end of the movie.
Yeah. And what you said is really appropriate because they went, think like gay person from the late 90s, early 2000s, and go a little bigger.
And when you say that this movie was co-written by someone who had success in the 80s, I was like, that makes sense because this was definitely written like it sounds like someone who has no idea what an influencer is but has just heard about it from their grandkids and is mad about it.
That is exactly one of my notes that I wrote down. This movie could have been written in the it probably was written in the 80s, it feels like, and then someone, probably Jeff Bonnet or Jeff Bonnet, said you know, to make this more relevant, let's make the boyfriend an influencer. That was the only change. That was the only change they made.
Well, in the 80s, Ralph and the mayor both would have been drunks. Because there was always a funny drunk in a Christmas movie. And I kind of felt like it needed that. Everybody was too sober in this film.
This is definitely missing that lady from 9 to 5, the secretary who just sat outside the boss's office drunk the whole time. And every time one of the ladies pulled off the boss, they'd come out storming and she goes, "Atta girl."
Like, that's
that's who Alejandra should have been, to be honest.
Yes, Alejandra. Yes. The receptionist at the hotel should have been like a drunk, "I hate Christmas." That's and such she's a good the film. One that melts Lindsay Lohan's heart to go fuck this Cordova Street guy.
Lilo. She should be like, "I hate Christmas because that's when my daughter died, so I'm drunk now." And then Lindsay Lohan has a moment, she goes, "Let me tell you the truth here. I don't hate Christmas. I fucking love it. That's why I drink so hard, because I love it so hard. So go get him."
Let me tell you the truth. The only reason I'm standing up is because I glued some popsicle sticks to my spine.
I go fuck a reindeer, girl. Be like me. That's what we needed, Alejandra.
Balthazar, where are you? Balthazar, where are you?
So this guy, I love that. He got no notes. This is the guy who got no notes.
Because it's so true.
Every single scene, perfect Tad. Perfect George.
Yeah, perfect.
Keep going.
Could you please call me Tad? Please call me Tad. I'm method in this.
Ronnie, shocker, that's a fake accent. I don't know if you knew that.
No, he's British.
He is British?
Yeah.
He was British playing American playing British. Yeah.
Yeah, that's more. He was British. Yeah.
Really? Because I went and watched on some of his Instagram videos, and then it was hard because he speaks fluent Chinese as well. So he's actually really hot.
He's really hot.
Oh, yeah.
He's really fucking hot.
Like, this guy's so much hotter than Cordova Street.
For sure.
Like, so they just.
Much.
Yeah.
He's got a beautiful wife and beautiful children. Like, he's the Aaron O'Connell for me, Ben, of 2022.
Yeah, his hotness is definitely not in question. That's for sure. He's really cute. Now, as far as Cordova Street, what a stupid fucking name, first of all.
We said that on the podcast.
More like note under road.
Yeah, and you're over a street. What the fuck is that? You know? Are you a street sweeper? What are you? What's over the street? Cord over street.
I hated that piece of casting.
It does feel, you know what? The thing about him is, even when he was on Glee, I couldn't figure out how his face worked. It is this kind of a little bit. He has kind of like a substantial jowl situation, but it's thinner face that was always kind of pulled up, and that huge lips. And he would have been great as like a teenage model. And now that he's a man, he looks like a little boy with a beard.
To me, he looks. I think the term is, I didn't make up this term, but I love it, fat ready, where you just like see someone and you're like, they're going to be fat in the future, right? But he's not at all. Like he's whatever.
No.
And who cares? I'm fat current, you know, so anybody out there who doesn't know me, I'm not judging it, but he looks like that fat flower is about to bloom and I'm ready to be there to pick up the petals.
And it'll kind of work for him.
It'll work for him.
It's a golden retriever.
He's like a gold, or a gold, not even a golden retriever. He's like a golden doodle. But like, you know, people are like, oh, they're so smart, but he's like the dumb one. They're like, oh, you got a dumb golden doodle. Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's be honest.
This was 1993.
Yeah. Yeah. Jordan Catalano.
It's the hair. That hair, the frosted hair. You have frosted tips, Cord. Yeah. I mean, of course.
That's
your name is
back
Cord.
Now. But that's like frosted tits are coming back. Frosted tips are coming back.
Stop. No, they are. Do not say that.
They are. I swear they are.
Frosted tips?
Yes.
Where, in Oklahoma?
No. I'm starting to see like younger men in Los Angeles.
Listen.
Have them.
I don't mind seeing a frosted tip, but I just feel like this Court Overstreet version of it is not what was doing it for me. I feel like this was a total, like Lindsay Lohan deserved someone just like hot as fuck. I'm sorry.
She really did. Like, yeah.
And someone who didn't look like her child, y'all. This movie looks like a mom is courting her son in a cabin.
And it's not just her
appearance. I don't
think he
looks young at all. I think he looks like...
I think he looked age appropriate.
It's her energy. Her energy is older.
She has old energy, yeah.
We're planning on covering a show that airs on TLC in January called MILF Manor, and she 100% looks like she could be on MILF Manor. Yeah. And yes, that's a real show now. That's where we come
Maybe I saw it on your Instagram. I just saw something about MILF Manor,
There was a 30 Rock show, a fake show on 30 Rock called MILF Island.
Yes.
That I always loved. That was about like these older women and these young teenage boys and who would survive before masturbating.
It was
such a great idea. And it's almost like now we're just bringing back parody shows now.
Well, Hulu has one out right now also called The Groove.
The Groove.
The Groove.
Yeah, y'all, it's Bravo. Are y'all doing Love Without Borders?
No.
have you
don't want to you don't want to jump into our world of terrible dating shows?
How about they give us Entertainment Without Borders? Okay.
Oh,
how about Watchable Without Borders?
And I call it Love Without a Format. People.
It's pretty terrible, but I'll watch it.
Is it reprehensible? Catch me up a little on it. I don't mind.
Somehow they found people who no one would like.
They did.
I can't believe they're not in this movie.
I know.
Except for Dumb Dana, who's from Montana.
Oh, yes.
And Dan. I kind of like her because she's probably forgets to get out of the rain. Like,
is that the one who didn't know where Ireland was?
Yes.
Okay.
And she's also, you know, they say with turkeys that they can't be in the rain because they'll open their mouths and they'll drown.
Oh my God! Like a turkey
Dana has
that?
The same issue.
They say that's what
this
turkeys
is our
do.
Our national bird. Okay,
yeah, that's true. Makes a lot of sense. Benjamin Franklin.
That's such a Court Overstreet.
Yeah.
Move. Well, that would be like, I'm surprised that's not the storyline. Like, well, our family turkey farm was doing great, but then all the turkeys died because they left them out in the rain. They all drowned. And now we don't know how we'll pay the bills. This may be our last Christmas on the turkey farm.
Someone left my turkeys in the rain.
We need to talk about the financial systems that are at work because someone needs Rich Dad, Poor Dad or something. Susie Orman. Or something.
So she's
So either way, Tad shows up and he's in this stretch limo and he's calling her and he's like, tell your father you don't want the job. And she's like, but he flew me all the way up here in his private jet for Christmas because he's rich and we have a hotel and I don't want to hurt his feelings.
He wants me to be the hotel business, but I don't want to be. Is that vegan leather? Again, every Christmas movie we watch, they have to hate vegans. Vegans are terrible people in these Christmas movies.
Well, vegans come from the cities where all the queers are.
I know.
I'm telling you.
Well, every Hallmark movie or one of these is all about the cities are evil. The country life, the simple country life is the best.
Literally, bacon was elevated in this movie.
Yeah.
It was
They're
a
like,
big
guys,
plot point.
We got to please the bacon people.
I hate bacon.
Bacon was good because it could both be like anti-vegan and also anti-Jewish.
There you go. Boom, boom,
it
boom,
really
boom,
hit,
boom.
Like, two birds with one stone.
She's supposed to be like Paris Hilton. That's what we're supposed to
get. That's a hotel heiress.
Right?
Yeah. Early 2000s. Yeah.
So she comes into the hotel, of course. And, you know, then we get the other gay. This one, luckily, though, we're so lucky to have him here on this podcast today. Matt Maher!
This should have been your role.
This
I missed
role.
Out on this.
I wrote down, Carver.
I should have the role of Terry, goddammit.
I wrote it down, too. I was like, this is my honey who needs to be in this show. You would have killed this. This guy, I was like, I'm not buying it, sir.
I didn't buy it either. He felt straight, too. Both of these actors, they gay-washed. Both these actors.
I just think you would have been funny. You know, I feel like this guy, like I got some gayness from him, but I didn't get like the effervescence. I was like, it's not just the fact that it's gay, you guys. There's like an effervescence about it that you can't.
There was like they needed that waiter from Salt Wives last night, the episode that I watched.
All those waiters on that show are so gay.
Yes, he's like, he's like, we're having a flight of margaritas. You should get it. Okay.
There was no prancing. There was no mincing. There was no trilling.
There was no love of Christmas because everyone knows no gay people love Christmas.
You're right. There was no self-loathing. Like, I guess I'll just go home to my three cats. I was none of that.
Christmas is one of those holidays like you still have to be included in. Like all the other ones, like they can be like, this isn't for you. This one's not for you either. But Christmas, they know you're the only one with a single person income.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Here's what my kids need," you know. Just send
list
over.
You just bring a holiday.
Well, they also know the gays are going to do like the best Christmas decor. I mean, hello, it's called Harry and David, not Harry and Shoshana. Okay. Which again, I feel like I'm bringing Judaism back into it by accident. Could you imagine? Oh, we got a fruit basket from Harry and Shoshana.
Shoshana. The Feynmans.
They don't give you apples, they just give you pretzels.
Socks. It's just, our fruit arrangement, it's not fruit, it's just socks. It's a pile of socks. I want to say, as the Jewish representative of this group, my parents did just send me some socks for my birthday. So.
That's so funny. Aww. So, yeah. So, he's supposed to be fabulous, but he's not. He's not really. And then he's like, good morning, Miss Belmont. I'm Carver. Is that his name?
His name is Terry Carver.
Oh, I'm Terry Carver from Guest Services, and I've been asked to work as your personal assistant, and this is your glam squad. I've seen it on Housewives, so I know it's gay and fabulous. I'm sorry, that was the stage direction that the guy who wrote Goosebumps put in here. So
I'm gonna put that out of my mind. Did you notice that Ali Lohan was part of the glam squad?
No.
She was the one with the black bob, I believe.
Ali Lohan.
I remember her when she was younger, and so I would not have known her now, but I looked at the credits and it said like Ali Lohan as Bianca, and I was like, Bianca, and then I looked at the picture there and I triangulated. Wow. It is Ali Lohan.
I actually did full 10-page recaps for every episode of Living Lohan. Know her very well. That was one of the saddest things I've ever seen.
I had to look her up on my phone. Was her.
You actually watched Lindsay Lohan's sobriety crumbling in that series.
That is when she became hard to watch. And she wasn't in it, but she was Living Lohan is the one that her mom did, right?
Am I saying the right thing?
Yeah, it was her mom, Dina, and Allie.
Dina wanted to be, she basically wanted to be Kim Kardashian. She thought that's what she could do.
Oh, I was thinking about the other, wasn't there another Lindsay Lohan?
Yes, there was one recently, but this one was like 10,
Cracker Barrel variety.
More than 10 years ago. Yeah. And it was her mom, and Lindsay wouldn't do it because she was still kind of, castable, I guess, then. And she was getting to be a mess. Like, people were starting to realize she's a mess. But at that time, she was still really famous and stuff.
No, that was the same time. Remember when I had that rumor CD stuck in my car? Remember that poodle?
I'm getting rumor started. Yeah. Also, she didn't sing in this movie. I was kind of, she sang one time, and the guy was like, you're quite pitchy.
I know, they set that up. The singing they set up first, was the scene cut out? Because I feel like, well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Yeah. But I thought there should have been some big moment with her in Cordova Street. Yeah.
Yes.
So the gay leads her through the hotel, and they're doing that thing where they follow her and they stop when she stops. And then they keep yes. following her when she
But you know,
laughing.
When someone is walking and talking on a phone, that is the best time to give exposition.
Yeah.
Again, yes. like an 80s it's movie. This
very
really
Devil
did
Wears
have
Prada. They yeah. they took all those tropes.
Or just all of the West Wing, like because the West Wing was all exposition. So they just like, well, the president of Russia is coming in, and then the president of Russia really likes airplanes. Airplanes were made in 1937 by
Shut up, Toby. Let's move on.
And Lindsay just does it. She's like, well, Daddy wouldn't understand. I mean, as far as he's concerned, this is the perfect career for me. He's making me vice president of atmosphere. I mean, it's so hard for me. Here I am, a rich girl, a girl who was born rich, who doesn't even have a mother anymore, and a father who's a hotel magnate, and who also has an irrational fear of ducks. Anyway, I'd love to sing sometimes. Talk to you later, person on the other side.
And I hate bacon. Hate bacon. Yeah. Put a pin in that.
And I hate bacon.
I want to say it is, we're going to talk about this, but I realize it is a complete just faux pas on them that Cord Overstreet sings really fucking well. The
he
fact
does.
That neither of them does did he? Not sing really legitimately in this movie
yeah.
is a
he
miss.
He sings on Glee. He sings okay. He sings okay. They auto-tuned him on Glee.
Everybody is auto-tuned on Glee. I listened to some the other day because I was rapping, and I was like, oh my God, I loved Glee. I'm going to listen to some of those, you know?
I thought you were saying like you were rapping.
But I know. I did like,
that's what I was like. Running, and I'm here to say.
In your room. You're like, let me lay down a verse during this Glee episode.
Don't stop. Don't stop. Stop believing.
We got you, Ronnie. We back out.
Hey, I could rap. I just made that.
Our band
that.
Is not called NSYNC. Our NSYNC is called Out of Touch. That's our boy band, the four of us.
Ronnie DMC.
Oh, Ron DMC. There we go. Bring it on, bitch.
Well, and so the big...
That's DJing, by the way. I'm like moving a record back and forth. I'm like, you know, like a rapper.
I don't get it now, DJ. DJ things don't have real records on them. They just, whatever. I feel like it's whatever. It bothers me. So she's on the phone telling her life. And then is that when Tad is like, let's make our relationship public on Instagram. And so that is I guess it's a big deal for people.
Well, he says, yeah. I have a question. Like, do people know who she is? Like, is she a celebrity? That's what I was
It wasn't
asking.
Established, but it is. We find out later
but
on.
I think she but is right. because she's famous enough that she says, because he says, how are your socials doing? Which, by the way, it was like clearly someone from Netflix's social media team was like, I have a note about that one line. They don't say social media. They just say socials.
They like, just
okay,
say socials.
We'll fix that. So then, and then she goes,
how's
well,
your MySpace
I told you.
Doing? They're like, listen, far be it from me to give notes to Goosebumps.
What's your Friendster numbers like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's basically like, well, I told you my account was hacked by that girl.
That was the strangest line in the movie.
I missed that line. Do we ever know what girl that
no,
was?
No, it was such a weird
it's Dina.
Thing.
That's
Come
what
on.
We all know, though. It's
this
Dina.
Could, okay. This could be the villain that tries to steal Tad from her. That is one thing about this movie. It made no one really a villain. Everybody was nice in this. Like, I thought this movie was going to be like Overboard with Goldie Hawn, where she's a wretched human being in the beginning. And also, if you watch Overboard now, I still really enjoy it. But the fact that, like, after Me Too, the fact that Kurt Russell completely subjugates her to, like, just...
No, you could never do
you
that
You could
movie.
Never make that movie now.
Yeah.
So this one, they're
well,
like...
they did, but
they,
it's not
they remade
that.
It.
Yeah, but it's not
yeah,
that.
They I think what you said, I don't... The problem here is... And I have a lot of questions about amnesia and what it does to a person. the issue I have here is we don't know that she's really a... bad person. We just know that she's quite materialistic, but is she a bad person?
No, because she's just spoiled she's and doesn't lazy. Know what bacon is, you know.
But we're supposed to believe she kind of becomes a good I don't know. I was
yeah, I agree. We need to know a little bit more about her world. I mean, she's lazy in the fact that her social media has been hacked by some girl and she's like literally doesn't
done nothing
by
about
that
it.
Girl. By that girl.
That girl.
I love that you consider that laziness. I mean, she's not even taking care of her socials.
I mean, Jake was hacked and he said, I'll worry about it tomorrow, and he went to bed. He did do that.
I've done that. Like, what are you going to do? It takes them forever anyway. It's not like there's a phone line that you can call. But also, there's one point that we have to point out, because when she's telling Tad that her dad wants her to work at the hotel, he asked her the position, and she's like, Vice President of Atmosphere.
Yes.
She's like, that's not even real. All people see is a spoiled heiress, and I'm not spoiled. And I was like, that's the problem with this movie. You have to be awful.
Yes.
You know, I agree with what you're saying.
She has self, as a, like, from a writing perspective, she does have self-awareness too early in the film, because she should look at, we should see her say, Vice President of Atmosphere, that's this big thing.
Yeah.
But that, I was shocked when she immediately was like, this is bullshit.
It never felt like an arc at all.
Oh my God, you're right. She didn't have an arc at all.
No.
No.
It was just a slope, which I guess fits with the theme of this movie of the falling down things. But I think what was funny to me is, again, how you can tell this movie was written by someone who had their success in the 80s was that when she says her socials have been hacked by that woman or that girl, Tad goes, but luckily you're dating one of Hype Magazine's top social influencers. I'm like, I'm pretty sure most social influencers are not
in a magazine,
in a magazine coverage.
Those have been done.
I'm referenced in a niche magazine.
I'm on the cover of Entertainment Week. Oh, wait. It's not a magazine anymore.
I've been featured on Usenet several times.
I've been on 321 Contact Magazine.
And so
did you hear him say selfies and ussies?
Yes.
I'd never heard that term before. Yeah,
let's take an ussie.
Ussie?
A couple of ussies.
Like an ussie, like versus, I mean, selfie versus
wow,
ussie.
Wow, I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, you
I didn't
can't
either.
Call it like a wee-ee, because it's Lindsay Lohan. She'll be like, all right.
All right.
Go when you can. So she's drinking, and they're like lifting the glass up to her lip for her, because she's rich, you guys.
Mm.
Yeah. Maybe with food, not with glass coming. Like, I paid a lot for this.
No, it looks dangerous. How hard is it to lift a glass?
You do have really pretty teeth. I just commented in a photo about them.
Oh, well, thank you, hon. They're actually natural. But, you know, like, I keep them from getting, because I'll chip shit with the corn chip, you know? Like, I've had to glue shit back on. I used to have super glue. When we were on tour, I broke my molar one. Who cares about, why am I talking about this?
you glued your molar with super glue?
Yeah, because it kept coming off and it really hurt. So I kept just putting more super glue on it. And then I got back to the dentist and he's like, what the fuck happened to your tooth? I was like, let's take an Essie. Sorry, I don't know where that went.
It's fine. Jake chipped a tooth, and every once in a while he'll whistle like an old prospector on the show.
I will whistle. When I say SH sounds, I will whistle sometimes.
He'll be, and then he's shitting it.
It's like, I knew you were going to end up like a Carol Channing. By the end of it, you're just going to be Carol at a piano, like, come on, that Merry Christmas, honey.
That's like that Arrested Development.
Carol Channing.
It's like, what after an Arrested Development, after Job had like a candy apple or something.
Yes,
like that,
that's like what it's like sometimes. Episodes. I'm just whistling sometimes.
Oh, you know what, you guys? I know that people are like, this tooth content is amazing. I can't wait to hear what happens next. So you're going to have to wait until the next episode. Be back tomorrow.
So glad we got through the first 45 seconds of the series.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai.
Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.